All right. The metal web zine. How did it start?
In 2014, I don't want to say which one because I don't want to start any shit, but I was writing for a bigger web zine here in New York State, and I didn't like the way my content was being monitored, and I didn't like the way that I was given like specific content. Like, I couldn't just do whatever I wanted, basically, is like the easiest way to put it. And yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was the year At the Gates released their first album in like, you know, in 18 years or something like that. And I didn't want to have to ask somebody permission to review the new At the Gates record. Like, I remember that was one major thing that year. So I started my own metal webzine, and I had a few people in mind, like Mike Dietzman, mm-hmm. has been my main partner from the beginning. And I had a few other people in mind that kind of fizzled out. And then yeah. we just started, we just wanted to educate people about like the local bands in Buffalo and Rochester. So that's what we started out doing, was we started writing articles and posting pieces and like just pointing out the specific bands that we really enjoyed. And it was always difficult for me because I've been a part of the scene for like 20 years, and I've always been in a band. Uh-huh. So I started the web scene. I didn't want to talk about my own band, so I really avoided that at all costs. Yeah, so it exactly. was really just Dietzman and I pointing out all our favorite Buffalo and Rochester bands and trying to like get those bigger national show crowds to like to come to local shows, because the big fucking thing is that I notice is like when Cannibal Corpse comes to town, you know, or if you go to any bigger like death metal show, for example, in the area, you see all these people, all these metalheads come out of the woodwork, and I get people travel from out of town. But every time I go to a local show, I always ask myself the same question, like, where the fuck are all these people that I see at the bigger shows? Like, why do these people only exist on these bigger nights? So that was like the main motivation for starting it. So now, you know, it's 5 years later. And since moving to Southern California, I've incorporated a lot of bands and venues from out there, like into the circuit. And I'm trying to start like a bi-coastal thing, but then COVID-19 happened and kind of fucked that whole thing up. But,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. we've been
booking our own shows right along too. Like, we do like the webzine's anniversary. We do an annual holiday show. We were doing Halloween for a while. So like, we eventually started incorporating our own live shows into the mix too, to kind of like enhance the scene. So I guess that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that Halloween show with the recent one. I'm not sure. I think it was Gutted Alive. Some other people. I've went to so many shows, dude. But I think that it's getting a lot of attention, because I remember going to that show and be like, holy shit, man, like this place is packed. Like,
yeah, that was actually a different web scene that did it this past year, but we did it at Bug Jar the previous Halloween, and it was basically the same lineup, and gotcha. It was just as packed. And that's one thing I've noticed over the last couple years, is I've been trying to get in Rochester a little more, just because like the crowds and the venues and the bands in Rochester like have proven to be a little more dependable over time. So I'm trying to mix it up, because I don't want to oversaturate Buffalo and then it's just totally dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Buffalo, did you listen to Anthropic's new album? Or Anthropic.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I reviewed it. I listened to it and reviewed it. I want to say a month ago. And I mean, I love what they do. It's definitely more of the same. I don't mean that in a negative connotation.
Yeah, I mean like that. I feel like it's Cannibal Corpse, but like kind of the same realm. Like they kind of like to stick to the roots. I mean, it's not a bad.
Yeah,
thing.
They're super consistent. And what I liked about Architects of Aggression in particular is that it was recorded, it's the best sounding recording they've put out so far.
Oh, I know.
Like,
Doug,
it has a very
crisp
sound all the way through. Yeah, nailed the mix.
Doug is a freaking tank, man. Every time I go there, he's like, he shows me all these CDs. I'm like, holy fuck, man, how do you do it? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Doug's been there since 95.
Have you ever recorded there?
Yeah. This is back when I played drums. So the first time I went there.
I did not know that you played. I did not know that you played drums.
Yeah, when I started playing out in the scene, it was 2001. That was my first real show, I guess. Because you know how you play like bullshit shows, like before then there was like, you know, a high school talent show. There was this or that. But like my first real show was at the Fun House, which isn't open anymore. It's on Abbott. It was on Abbott in Lackawanna, and that was with a band called Catalyst, which I admit, you know, it was kind of fucking new metal. But like it was 2001, and you know, I was about to graduate from high school, so like that was my shit. And we would cover like Blind by Korn or like Closer by Linkin Park and all that stupid shit. And or like we did Toxicity by System too, and like people fucking loved that. But then I let's see, Watchmen Studios. That my first time there would have been February 2005, and I was playing drums in This Gun Smiles, and we were kind of like a thrash hardcore band.
Right. Have you been in, like, I know Aspire Affliction and The Last Rain. Is there any other bands that you've like tried out for in the metal scene that like, I don't know, didn't work out?
Well, yeah, I'll go back to the beginning. So on drums, I did that new metal band Catalyst, and then I did the thrashy hardcore band This Gun Smiles, and then I played drums in a metalcore band called Burn the Beautiful for a while. We went to New York City a couple times. That was cool. I only ended up, you know, I was in a ton of bands in between like 2001 and 2006 on drums. So like only like a 5-year period, but I was in so many bands around that time. And every band was like the Broadway Joe's House band. But,
dude, I never freaking made it to that place, dude. I was still.
Oh, really?
I'm only 21, so.
Right. Oh, yeah. No shit. So those were like the main bands on drums. And then from 2006 to 2010, I was just a promoter. Like I brought a few like bigger packages to town. Like I did Vital Remains and Arsis at Showplace, two separate occasions and shit like that. And then, those were, like, the bigger ones that I did around that time. I did Kill Whitney Dead.
You said Arsis?
Yeah, I did Arsis at Showplace in 2007, Vital Remains a few months later. About a year before that, it was on 6606. I did Kill Whitney Dead at Broadway Joe's. So, like, I had a couple, like, noteworthy ones in, like, a couple year patch. Uh-huh. And then in 2010, I forced myself to learn guitar because I wanted to get back into playing, but I wanted to write the songs. And, you know, as a drummer, I was like usually taking orders from like guitar players. So
dude,
I wanted to like write my own songs and start.
Every drummer that I know does that. They're like, fuck playing drums, I'm playing guitar. Everyone I've ever met.
Well, yeah. And that's why there's such a scarcity, man. Cause like usually like, and I never really had this problem, but like a lot of guitarist attitudes, like, will deter drummers from playing drums, if they get in the wrong band, and then they'll either quit or gravitate towards a different instrument. And I think that's another reason that drummers are so scarce. It's not just, you know, the cost of like a quality drum set, you know, it's more about the attitude it goes into it too. And it takes a lot of discipline. Like to be a good drummer, like you really have to figure that shit out. You can't just bullshit your way through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, forced myself.
It's not no pop power chords.
No. So yeah, I forced myself to learn guitar in 2010 so I could start a band. And 10 years later, we're still doing it, but we just took like 2 years off. It was like a hiatus. We broke up, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. That was 2015 to 2017, and during that time, that was when I was screaming The Last Rain. And I the main reason I did that was, I had never fronted a band before, and I love melodic death metal. Like, that is my go-to. So, like, you know, a newer, pure melodic death metal band, like, coming up in the scene, like, I wanted to at least try, you know. But, so, yeah, that brings us up to the present.
Hell, yeah. You guys just released a new album. It sounds sick. what the hell is the one song called? Hold up. I commented on your thing.
Dark Exile?
Yes, I did. That song is great.
Thanks, so, dude.
Do you write all of the music? Or how's that?
Because I write the majority of the music, yeah. Like on the two full lengths we have out, like Jay could claim like a song or two. We both write guitar for every song. Like there's always a little percentage that is me or a little percentage that is Jay in every song. But I'd say that I write the majority of the music, and mm-hmm. up until just recently I was writing the majority of the lyrics.
Right.
But Tony really stepped up on the last album, and I'm glad he did, because you know he applied himself, and I like a lot of the lyrics. I like pretty much all the lyrics on the new album that he came up with. I think I only wrote lyrically. I think I only wrote like two or three songs on Artfully Imprisoned.
Yeah. Now, how with moving to California, has that been like difficult? Is it just going to be like a record an album type thing, or are you eventually planning on like coming back and playing shows in Buffalo or Rochester once in a while?
I'm going to be back and forth for a while, realistically, because, you know, I still have, you know, I have my girlfriend, I have my family, I have my friends here in Buffalo, and I'm going to be, you know, honoring, you know, certain commitments. And, you know, As long as I have the financial backing that I can do, and as long as I can afford to do it, like what I've been doing since October is like a month here and a month there.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be doing for the foreseeable future. Again, COVID-19 fucked everything up, because for Aspired Infliction, like we had some plans, like we were supposed to already have shot a video in LA, because we had I was getting us into a couple cool studios. Like there was one at UCLA, and then there was another spot at Warner Brothers that we were going to use. That was going to happen. I think that was supposed to happen last month, and then we pushed it until the end of May. We might still be able to do it at the end of next month, but it depends on, you know, like the stay at home orders and shit like that.